Hi, everybody. This is Deb, and I'm really glad that you're here for this month's writing teleclass. And tonight, I think we're going to have a fun topic to work with and hopefully one that will really help support you in your writing. But also, as always, it seems like, you know, writing and life are always completely intertwined. So some of these things may be good life strategies as well as good writing strategies as well. I always try to just tune in to what a good topic would be month to month for these teleclasses. And the writing process idea seemed especially timely because we are coming on to the end of 2020. I know a lot of people will be breathing a huge sigh of relief as we see this year go away. But the year truly has, with all of its challenges, has had a lot of gifts too, giving us the opportunity to maybe reevaluate our lives, what matters to us, what we want to keep, what we want to let go of, and being more deliberate in our choices about how we spend our time, how we set up our environment, and how we support ourselves in the things that we want to do. And one of those, of course, is in our writing. So what I want to look at tonight is the writing process. Sometimes it's easy just to get into certain habits, let ways of doing things kind of get grandfathered into our experience without taking a step back and asking ourselves, does this really work for me or not? So that's what this next hour is about, is giving ourselves an opportunity to look at where we are with our writing process, whether we're in the very beginning stages of setting that up, or we've been doing some of the same things for years, and then looking at, yeah, what do we need to let go of? What do we need to adopt? What can we shift? How can we make it even better? Because now we've got, you know, a little over a month before the end of this year so that we can start to set things up in a whole new way and hit the ground running in 2021 to make some huge strides in your writing that just feel good, that feel like you're really doing everything you can to bring your best self to your writing. So that's what tonight is all about. As always, I want it to be very interactive. So we'll start with a guided visualization. I'm going to ask you to do some writing along the way. So if you keep that pen and paper handy, that will be great. I'll go through some teaching points about how to set up your process or how to identify the process that you have. And then we'll do some sharing and some Q&A as we go along as well. So, as always, I just invite you to settle in, get comfortable, know that this is your time. And even saying that, it just feels so good to breathe into that, to start to relax, and to know that wherever you are in this moment is perfect for you to close your eyes, settle into your seat, and take in a big, big breath. And let it out with a sigh. Now take in another big, big breath. And let go. And one more time, deep breath in. And exhale. And let yourself simply linger for a moment, feeling the muscles in your body become loose and slack, relaxed. Letting that pause between your breaths extend just a little bit. Feeling a greater sense of peace as you let go of any deadlines or expectations or to-do lists. Letting any mental clutter simply fade away. As you turn your attention inside yourself and connect with that still place within. And now, in your mind's eye, I want you to see yourself in your ideal writing space. Let it take shape before you, maybe fully formed, maybe starting to fill in gradually. And let it be whatever shows up in your mind, whether it's the writing space that you currently have or one that you have never even dreamed of before. As you see it in your mind's eye, see yourself in this space. Feel yourself in this space. And turn around so that you have a 365-degree view of it, taking in any detail that calls to you. And if you are literally seeing something, feeling it, that's wonderful. If you're not necessarily seeing something, a clear, clear image, that's okay too. Just let yourself have whatever experience you're having. Pay attention to both the physical and the emotional feelings within this space. See if they're different from the place that you typically have been working to do your writing in the past. Again, notice any particular details, the light, the sources of light, where you have your computer or your pen and paper. If there are other items in the space, and if so, the ones that really call your attention to them, that have meaning for you. And now see yourself sitting down at the desk or table or whatever it is where you're going to write, and see yourself starting that writing, becoming aware of what it is that you're writing and the feeling that you have as you start to put those words on paper. Let yourself continue to write in this space for a moment, connecting with the power of your words, the joy of the process, your connection with the message that you're conveying. And take a moment to honor and acknowledge yourself, not just for showing up, but for being involved, for taking the steps in this place, in this moment, to write the story that's taking shape in front of you. look around you again and see if there's anything there that you have written before. A book, a screenplay, a poem. Or maybe you see other writing that has inspired you. And pay attention to the time that you have to be in this space, focused, deliberate, connected, involved. Let yourself relax into this time and space. And feel the writer you are. And the writer that you are becoming. Now just take one more moment again to look around, to pay attention, to feel what this place and this process mean to you. And know that you can come back here at any time. To the place that you create that is perfect for you. Now take a deep, deep breath. Let it out with a sigh. Take another deep breath. Let it go. One more time. Deep breath in. And exhale. And as you start to come out of this meditation, allow yourself to stay in the place of peace and connection. And then pick up your pen and paper or sit down with your keyboard and write down as many of the details as you can remember from this meditation. And I'll give you about 3 or 4 minutes to do that. And then we'll come back together. Okay, let's go ahead and come back together. And let yourself fully come back into your body as well, slowly and gently, and as you would like to. Give you a little time to do that. And I'd love to hear maybe one or two of you, if you'd like to share what you experienced in that meditation. Just press *6 and you'll unmute yourself and you can come on the line. So if you've never been on one of these calls before or never spoken up on one of the calls, I'd love to invite you to come on, knowing that this is a very safe and welcoming space. So if there's anyone who would like to press *6 and then just say hello, that would be great. And we'll wait just a second here. There's always that little delay.
Hi, Deb. Okay. It's Karen. I apologize for being late, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, glad you're here. Yes. Yep, that's great. Go ahead. It looks like there are a couple of you, so we'll talk with you first, and then we'll switch over. So very glad you're here.
I joined on late, so I didn't get to hear the meditation, but I just wanted to say hi, and I'm excited to hear what everybody has to say.
Oh, wonderful. Well, just really glad that you're here. Yep, so the meditation was a guided meditation to go into your ideal writing space and then to really notice all of the details, to sit down and write, to really feel what it feels like to be in that a process and a place that fully supports you. So you'll hear, I think, some details of what that was like for others. Absolutely. Okay. So, yeah, if you're on the line, go ahead and say hi, Carrie. I think you're here. No, that was, yeah.
Carrie is here.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm so glad
Good.
To be here.
Glad you're here.
It's awesome, and that was a fabulous meditation. Thank you so much. The house has gotten a lot of construction, so I don't currently have a place to write. So this was fabulous to kind of envision where that could be. And I found myself in front of in a desk in front of a large window that's shaded so that the sunlight's not steaming down on me, but I can look out onto a vista of bright shining world. Preferably like the ocean, so I can do the work, but I can see the brightness and the world out there and what I'm trying to reach out to, what I'm trying to connect with.
And, I love that. Yeah.
So that
beautiful.
Was,
go ahead.
So that was great. And it was, the desk itself is free of clutter and there's quiet and,
Right.
People.
Right. Okay. Wonderful. And any other items within the space that you noticed in particular?
Well, I don't think I'm going to get that vista anytime soon. So I was thinking about this this framed photo from inside an adobe cave on a cliff dwelling cave that looks out onto the mesas. And that really captures the kind of essence of what I'm looking for. And so I can put that in front of the desk that I do have and kind of have the same effect. So that was an aha.
Wonderful. I love it. Yes. So you can create that for yourself, even if the ocean isn't just outside your door. That's
yes.
Lovely. Love it. Love it. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Carrie. I also love that, that idea of looking out on the vista of a shining world. I wrote that down because it was so lovely. And, that could be the ocean. So, of course, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, yes, to have a room with a view like that, and to be inspired by that sort of beautiful view. But then when you switched it, that it's not just something to look at, but it's also really symbolic of the world that you want to connect with. I thought that was so beautiful. That for me was an aha moment. So thank you for that. Beautiful.
Sure, thank you.
Uh-huh. And it really shows, that we want to set up an environment that supports us, but also look for the meaning for those kinds of things. What else do they mean to us? Not just that it's beautiful and it feels good, but it may have a much deeper connection to our work, just as that one did. So, awesome. Okay. Well, anyone else who would like to come on and share?
Hi, Deborah. It's Susan.
Hey, Susan, how are you?
I'm great. I was feeling kind of tired a little bit earlier. My mind was so full, but then all of a sudden I had that pull, you know, to... So anyway, I enjoyed that meditation very much. I was so moved. I had to start to type before it was totally over. So
good.
I thought if you have time, it's just a couple paragraphs, but I could read it.
Oh, please. That would be great.
Okay. I'm in my office in Hawaii, looking through a giant glass window at the ocean tides as the sun rises. I'm aware of the darkness and the light. The palms and grasses shift slightly in the ocean breeze. The bounty of flowers etch the garden walls with an aroma of colors. I feel a deep sense of peace and enjoy the quiet and space. I see a timeline of my life with peaks and valleys stretching out across the space with all the steps that have left footprints on the page of my life. I'm grateful for all I see, for all I feel, for all I hear, for all I know. I've lived, learned, grown, and transformed through each mountain and each valley. And all is perfect for me for what I've come to do.
Wow.
And it was so beautiful to be able to write that, Deborah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's so beautiful to hear.
Wow.
The sense of peace and beauty in that is just stunning. And then gratitude.
It told me what I want and what I need.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? And,
yeah.
And, you know, what I love about that, too, is the description is so vivid and so real. But there is also that feeling, you know, and to know that that feeling can be there, even if it doesn't, even if the surroundings don't exactly match what you described, still you know the feeling that you're going for and that you can create that even in other spaces, too.
Right.
So, beautiful. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, thank you for the meditation. That was beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. And I think we have one more person. Who would like to come on the line?
This is Gabrielle.
Hi, Gabrielle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good, good. So good to hear your voices always.
Oh, thank you.
I know that
so
I'll see your face here this
too.
Long, too. So, how was it for you?
It was great. I guess a lot of people like to look at the ocean when they're writing. But, yeah, my ideal place, it says, I wrote down, white walls, which is unusual because I can't stand white walls normally, but nothing, you know, like, yeah. But anyway, white walls, bright, bright white light, multicolored crystals hanging everywhere from the ceiling. My desk overlooks a huge sliding glass door that takes up almost the entire wall, maybe 15 to 20 feet, overlooking a balcony that overlooks the ocean with mountains in the distance. It's always warm here, the perfect temperature, so I write at the sliding with the sliding glass door open, screen closed, so I can smell and hear the ocean as I write. The room is clean and serene. For nighttime, a glowing galaxy lamp and my fountain with bright light multicolored rocks is spinning with the water crystal ball and LED lighting that changes colors. The ocean scares me a little, but it's beautiful and nourishes my heart.
Oh, my gosh. That's so lovely.
Ooh.
I'm guessing I feel like I was right there with you, and I'm guessing everybody else feels that same way just because the description was so vivid all by itself. And then again, that feeling of, isn't it interesting that there are so many commonalities, whether it's the ocean or some sort of natural beauty. You know, you just think of that inspiration of nature. I love the part about having the door open so that you could smell and hear the ocean, so that it's a full sensory effect, not just what we see, but so that we get to be part of it and really live in it. All of it was just beautiful. So did it feel as peaceful to you as it sounds?
Yeah, it did, except, you know, like, I also have a phobia. I mean, I scuba dive and stuff, so it's like whatever, but I have of like deep, dark water somehow. So it's like, it, like on one hand, it totally nourishes my heart, but on the other, it kind of terrifies me to look out too, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's, I find that interesting, you know? Yeah.
Right, right. You know, and the thing that comes to mind for me as you say that is that there's the contrast. There's the contrast that shows up in every story. You know, that stories aren't story if they're all light or they're all shadow, that there's got to be both there. So isn't it interesting that you have those feelings within you and within what you're looking upon to remind you of those elements that of what you're writing about? And, you know, that you, as you feel those things, you'll be able to give voice to them through your stories.
True, because I have a recurring, I've had a recurring dream all my life that the ocean like comes in and it blasts through my window, and you know, like it's horrible, like you know, like a tidal wave. But I went to where I went to school. My dorm was right on Lake Michigan, and my dorm overlooked the lake, but it looks like an ocean. And it like I can't even say how much that nourished my soul to like look at that every day.
Right, right. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, well, and to be able to really use that in your writing, you know, both I think it's so important, you know, one of the things that we talk about in these classes is to be able to write about pain, but know that you don't have to live there. And certainly, you know, that's part of this whole process of writing memoir and using writing as healing. But to know what the fear feels like can be so important to be able to connect with your reader so that then you can lead them out of that pain and out of that fear. So for you to be able to acknowledge it, to know it for yourself, but to also know the other side of it, the beauty, the healing nature of it, the grandeur, the majesty of it. You've got both sides there then that will make a full story in your writing. So use them both, yeah. But live in the beauty and the joy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks, too.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Gabrielle also asked a great question that she emailed me about, so we'll come back to that here in a little bit. I know that there are a couple of others who would like to come on the line, and I do want to hear from you. I think what we'll do is wait just a little bit, if that's okay, so that I can share a few points about process, and then we'll open it up for some more Q&A, and I'd love for you to come back on. So, but I do want to jump in to just the idea of a writing process and a writing practice. I'm guessing all of you, even if you're in the very beginning stages of writing, which I know some of you are, and I'm so glad that you're here, you may be just kind of, wondering, what is a writing process? You know, what is a writing practice? And do I need them? And how do I do them? So I want to talk about them just briefly in a way that has been very helpful for me and that I often talk about with my mentees. The writing process is really about honoring yourself. All of this, in one form or another, comes back to you honoring you. If you think about the practices and the processes that we have in our lives, so many of them are things that we've had maybe since we were children. You know, we wash our hair, we brush our teeth, we do the dishes, we fix meals, we, you know, have certain things that we do every single day that are part of our process and our practice of just being alive and keeping ourselves and our families fed and our environment relatively clean and keeping ourselves going. And because we've established those practices, those routines, they just become integrated into our everyday lives. You know, it's the kind of thing where if you went to bed at the end of the day and hadn't brushed your teeth all day, there would be a feeling of, something's missing. I need to get up out of bed and go brush my teeth. Like, you know, it doesn't feel right to go to bed and not having done that. Same thing, you know, I can often leave dishes undone in the kitchen at night, but it just feels better, you know, to have everything cleaned up before you go to bed. And those things, it's not as though anybody's making us do those. It's not as though there's, you know, a dentist, police coming into your house to check every day and see if you've brushed your teeth or, you know, if you've kept your kitchen clean. But you do those things to honor yourself because they feel better. They feel good. It's really exactly the same thing with writing. Writing is a magical, mystical thing, and it's not all at the same time. You know, I think we want to hold it in high regard because it has so much power. Our ability to put ourselves, our words, our stories onto paper so that they can impact other people, there is something really magical about that. And yet the magic of it can work against us if we try to make writing something so different from the rest of our lives that we rely simply on inspiration to keep it going, or to, you know, move us to sit down in front of the computer and start to write. This is why we need some sort of practice and process that works for us, so that we're honoring writing just the same way that we honor brushing our teeth or doing the dishes or, you know, whatever those routines are in your life. Knowing that writing, it's important for it to be woven into that everyday tapestry of your life, like all of those other things. Now, at first, that, or even if you've been writing for years, maybe that feels a little daunting because, you know, brushing your teeth takes 2 minutes. Cleaning up the kitchen takes just a few minutes. Writing, it can seem like writing, well, for that, you know, I've got to clear my calendar, clear my schedule for a couple of hours, and I've got to have things lined up, and I've got to have the perfect view, and I really want things to be a certain way so that I can write and feel that inspiration. That's where we take a look at our process and our practice, and we say, okay, how do I set this up so that it will really work for me and not keep me from the writing that I really deeply want to do? Okay, so let's kind of break that down just a little bit. And the way that I break it down is really by using the 5 W's and the H that we learned back in journalism school, back in high school. And probably most of you can guess or know what these 5 W's and the H are. They are the what, when, where, who, why, and how. Every reporter, you know, when they go out to do a story, would ask those questions. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to ask those questions of yourself about your writing practice and process as it exists right now. So we did the meditation to get a picture of what you want your environment to be like and to start to feel what this process is like for you, ideally. So this is maybe, you know, partly what you've got now or what you want to move toward. But now I want you to look at what do you have right now, what actually exists for you. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'll run through these questions, and I want you to just jot down the 5 W's and the H as I say them. And then I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to go through each of those questions and describe what your process or practice around writing are like right now. So the what. What are you writing? Does it light you up? Are you writing one thing? Are you writing more than one thing? Are you, maybe do you have some ideas, but you haven't actually started writing? Maybe you're gathering information. Whatever it is, just answer briefly here when I give you the 5 minutes. What is it that you're writing? Okay? Then the second W is when. When do you write? Do you have a certain time of day, certain number of days of the week? Is it more haphazard? Do you just kind of sit down and write whenever you feel like it? Are you writing, you know, doing the mental work of writing when you're outside walking or doing activities or driving from place to place? So the when of your practice and process as they exist now. Then the third W, where. Where do you write? What is that space currently like for you? And describe it, you know, in some detail. Who are you as you write? Who do you write with? Maybe you've got a writing buddy. Maybe you're part of a writing group. And whether you write with them or not, maybe they give you some feedback or you meet with them on a regular basis. But the main who is, who are you? Who is the writer that dwells within you? And do you know that person as well as you would like to? The last W is why. Why do you write? So important to know what that motivation is. What is it that will nudge you and move you and wake you up in the middle of the night to say, it's time, because you have something important to say? So describe your why. And then the final one is how. How do you write? And that's a pretty open-ended one, so you can answer that really however you want. So again, just to review, it's the what. What are you writing? When do you write? Where do you write? Who are you when you write or as a writer? Why do you write and how? I know there's a lot there, and so I'm only going to give you about 5 minutes. This is something that you can certainly carry on and do more of after the teleclass is over. But go ahead and start going through those questions, and I'll give you the signal when the 5 minutes are up. We'll take about one more minute. Okay, let's go ahead and come back together and see if there's anyone who would like to share something that came up for them in that exercise. You know, the value of this is really to just get a snapshot of where you are right now, because as we move toward that ideal of our writing environment, our writing process, and how we want to feel as we're writing, it really helps to know where we are so that we can see what's working, what's not, and then make some really deliberate choices and decisions to make things better. So if anybody would like to share anything that maybe they learned, they discovered, just go ahead and press star six and come on the line.
Hello, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana. How are you?
I'm well. First of all, I haven't written anything. I've been thinking about a lot of things. I've made a few notes. But what came out for me in this exercise, why do I write? And what I realized is when I do write, when I can't stop myself from writing, is when I have some sort of complex concern, thought, idea, experience, and I've been writing just for myself something called a spirit blog that I decided to write just for me. It began in a grief experience. And so then I thought, maybe that is where I am being led rather than what I thought I should be doing.
Wow. Yeah. So this is very big, very, very big. And how does that feel to you as you say that out loud?
It felt really right. I'm sitting here rather stunned because I wrote, what am I writing? I'm just thinking about things. What am I writing? I'm just writing about thinking about things. Where do I write? I don't write. I'm, you know, and who am I as I'm writing? And this is what started it. I said, I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. I entertain all my friends, my relatives, with stories about my life and my experiences. So then it says, why do I write? What is the motivation? And the one time that I feel even like maybe I may be a writer is when something happens and I have to sit down and write it out to figure it out.
Right, right. So, yes, so that seems like a pretty large and clear piece of information, doesn't it? Isn't it
yes.
Amazing? Yeah, there in the writing itself, you just did what you were describing. It takes shape and becomes clear and fully formed when you put it down on paper. And then there it is looking right back at you and saying...
And I felt like a fraud listening to everybody, and I thought, oh, I don't think I'm a writer. And so then I realized I'm just a different kind of writer, maybe.
You are the writer that you are.
Yes.
You are you, yes. And every single writer is unique and different. And, yeah, and it's just so important to really own that and claim it for yourself and know that, like you said, that's the writing gift that you have to share. So rather than the shoulds.
Yeah.
That our ego minds can sometimes put on us. It's like, yeah, I'm not a real writer if I haven't been published. Or, you know, then we get published. Well, I'm not a real writer because I don't have a bestseller. And, you know, then, or I'm not a writer if whatever, you know, somebody else writes faster than I do or has put out more books or whatever. It will never, ever be enough to our ego mind, no matter what we do. But to the authentic self, to who you really are, to that higher mind within you, it knows that you are the writer you are, and that's perfect, and that's everything. So kudos to you for discovering that within yourself and honoring it that way, and then for sharing it with us. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyone else who had a discovery, an aha moment, a question, anything that you'd like to share? If not, we'll go on to the next part of this. Okay. Well, I want to give you...
good evening, Deb.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very good. Very good.
We've had great weather.
Oh, my gosh, haven't we, though?
Yes.
So what came up for you with that exercise?
Well, most of it I already knew. It wasn't a surprise, but the last question, how do I write, was a surprise somewhat. And that is when I look at a writing prompt, let's say I'm going to, I'm looking at a prompt for a writing contest or from one of my writing groups. And my mind goes blank and I think, I can't think of anything to write about this. And I get into the self-doubt of, you know, I can't do this. I have no idea how to approach this or anything. And sometimes that takes a couple of days. And then I sit down and say, I can do this. And I start asking my imagination questions and saying, okay, what kind of thing would fit with this? And then I'm able to build off of that and complete the challenge or the prompt. But that's my process, is that I do the self-doubt thing first, and then I write.
Beautiful. Okay. So do as you are aware of that now, does it feel like, yeah, that's my process and that works for me and I'm going to stick with it? Or do you feel like maybe I can tweak that some?
I would like to tweak it a bit because I would like to be able to write on command.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to be able to see something, hear something, and come home and write about it.
Okay.
Or somebody in one of my writing groups may say something, and I write about it. Or if I'm reading a book, and I come to a passage where, oh, I wonder if this could happen instead, and write about it. But I don't have those kinds of triggers in place right now.
Okay. So that's really valuable to know, too. Even that list of those different situations that you just mentioned, it would be wonderful to write those down and just become familiar with those triggers, the times when you do want to just very quickly be able to go into asking your imagination mode, because it sounds as though that was the key piece, that was the transition from the self-doubt to the action, you know, to getting into the writing that you wanted, was when you sit down and ask your imagination. So, yeah, so just hearing your process, I could see you maybe short-circuiting or short-cutting that self-doubt part and going very quickly into the place that you want to go by just, yeah, recognizing those situations and asking right away. So, beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. And that's where, again, you know, just becoming aware of some of those patterns, because we all have them, but often they are deeply embedded in our routine or we're just unconscious of them. But once you can see them, you can see, oh, yeah, maybe I could make a different choice. And one of the choices could be, yeah, I do hang out in self-doubt for a couple of days, but then I get there, and I think I'll keep doing that because that works for me. If that works for you, great. You know, this is your process and you get to make it what is unique to you as you are as a writer. The most important thing is to not judge what you're doing, to not should on yourself or make yourself wrong for what you're doing, but instead just move more and more to the process that you would most love to have without letting fear stop you along the way. So I'm just going to give you an assignment because I want to answer a couple of questions here before we wrap up. I want to give you actually two assignments to kind of make this a trilogy, starting with the exercise that you just did about taking the snapshot of where you are now. Then I want you to write down all distractions that you can think of, the things that keep you from writing, external ones, internal ones, anything and everything that comes to mind. A recent one for me has been that we had a kitten showed up at our house. We live out in the country, and a kitten showed up about a month ago on a dark and stormy night, and so we have adopted him, at least for the time being. He's adopted us, and but he's a kitten, and he needs a lot of attention. And I would love to just hold him on my lap because he really likes to soak that up. But, you know, every 20 seconds he's off getting up onto my keyboard or onto my desk or, you know, chewing on the cords under the desk. So there's a lot of distraction around the kitten. And sometimes we just have to, you know, hand him over to Bob and so that I can get my work done. So anything could be that. It could be, you know, snack breaks. It could be whatever. Dusting. I mean, I have even reverted to dusting as a distraction to keep myself from writing. The reason for making this list, again, is just to become aware, to become conscious of your patterns, and to really see, you know, all the things that you do mentally and physically to keep yourself from sitting down and writing. You may even want to just kind of have an out-of-body experience for a day or two. Observe yourself writing and not writing. And write down everything that you can that becomes, that you see as a distraction. Because once you know what those are, then you can make different decisions about them. Okay? So there's that part of the assignment. And then the last part is to go back to the 5 W's and the H that you wrote about a few moments ago. But instead of writing about them in terms of how things are right now, write about them in terms of what you want them to be. How can you support yourself in your writing more? For instance, what can I do differently? When can I write that will work best for me? Where can I write? And how can I create that writing environment that feels so good? Who am I? Who am I as a writer? Who do I want to become? Why do I continue to write? Is the current why for my future why, or could that change? And then how will I maintain this practice of supporting myself in an ever-increasing and improving writing process and practice every day? Okay? So, again, what, when, where, who, why, and how as you move into the writing practice that you want to have. So then I want to just answer a couple of questions pretty quickly, and we'll see if at the end if we just have a couple more minutes for any discussion. I mentioned that Gabrielle had emailed me a question, and I want to come back to that. And I know, truly know, that this will resonate with a lot of people. Gabrielle is talking about the fact that she has a cluttered space. She wants to declutter and says from her email, to get rid of everything in my home and in my property that does not spark joy. So it's the whole Marie Kondo feeling of, does this light me up? Does this give me joy? And if it doesn't, then it needs to go. She said, the clutter in my study affects my clarity when writing, and I can't find things I need to use in some of the pieces, like documentation for a memoir, because they're buried in cancers of papers. I love that. Ever-growing. I feel like my writing would go way better if I had a clean and serene home. So she's asking about a process of getting rid of things, you know, going to consignment, that it takes a lot of energy and a lot of work to get rid of stuff. And Gabrielle, I personally resonate with this question so much because half of my office is pretty clean. That's the part that you see on Zoom. The other part of my office is not and has all sorts of clutter. And I know that same sense of heaviness and fatigue in getting rid of it. So so here, what I want to do, actually, is there are a lot of different things, you know, that we can do to get rid of things. As you said in your email, you could put it all out on the curb and just let people pick it up or get rid of it. But some things have value, and you want to get the value out of it, you know, for those things that are worth some money. So what I have done in the past is I've actually hired a young woman who has come in, boxed things up, packed them up, and then taken them to consignment stores or found homes for them. And that's been really effective and such a huge help. It's not as much of a possibility in this age of COVID. So I found that typically now I've got to, you know, do the packing, which is a slow process because I'm attached to things emotionally, and I don't want to let them go. So here's what I want to do, is I want to issue a challenge to all of you that we can do this together and to see if we can make a pact, if this resonates with you, that by the end of this year, December 31st of 2020, that we're all going to get rid of the clutter that is feeling like a distraction and feeling like it's in our way. So Gabrielle is asking, do you have experience, strength, hope, et cetera, that might actually get me to take a massive leap of faith and just put the stuff on the curb or take it to consignment? And to me, that leap of faith is if we hold hands and do this together and say, yeah, I'll do it if you do it. And if you can do it, I can do it. And we're just going to get rid of this stuff. So if you are in on that challenge, I invite you to just drop me a, you know, a quick email, deb@deborahengel.com, and just say, I'm in. And then if it's okay with all of you, you know, I'll just maybe send out little emails of reminders, or you share your stories, even photos of what you're doing to get rid of the clutter, and we'll see if we'll just make a commitment, make an agreement that by December 31st, we will have a clean and clear environment in which to write, okay? So hopefully that's helpful to you, Gabrielle. I know it's helpful to me and hopefully to some of the rest of you as well. The other question that I want to answer. Okay. Oh, good, good, good. Awesome. Okay. We are on. And then Deborah asked a question, really wonderful question. And I'll read this because I know that she has some people at her house and work people and may not be able to actually come on the line. But she wrote, I wonder how to overcome the tension, almost a physical reaction, when I think about writing. After an episode in an abusive relationship many years ago, I still have a visceral reaction to being alone, without noise and distractions, and transferring my thoughts to a document. So that's a really poignant and important question. And, you know, I think it speaks to that fear, that maybe a universal fear of all of our egos of, am I alone? You know, what if I'm alone and vulnerable? And now I'm putting myself in an even more vulnerable position because I'm writing about, you know, possibly past hurts or memories that were of things where there was some wounding or some pain. And even though I'm using my writing, you know, to move myself to a different place, to tell a story that can help heal others, still, it could be scary, you know, to go into that place in our own minds and hearts to touch that truth for ourselves. So I would do a couple of things, Deborah. One is, you know, really just to sit as you start to write, take a moment or a few moments to do a guided meditation, to invoke spirit, to invoke your writing guides to be there with you, to feel a sense of protectedness, to know that you are safe, and that the past is in the past and is not here with you now. It may still live in your memory, but it doesn't live in your current environment. And that you can really ask that spiritual protection to be with you, to heal the fear-based thoughts, and to help you feel the presence and the power of these beings and this energy that are really there to support and celebrate you as you write. Because here's the thing, and I just know this to be true for all of us, no matter what your spiritual or religious beliefs, that we do all have guidance, and that those guides are here with us always, and that they speak to us, and that our ability to receive really is just commensurate with how often we're willing to get quiet and to listen and to say hello. And the more that we do that, the more we feel their presence with us, the more we can feel their guidance, and the more that we can know that our act of writing is not really a solitary act, but it is an act of co-creation and collaboration. And in that space, there's such great safety and comfort. So hopefully that will help. Deborah, you know, let me know. Just send me an email if that's something that you'd like to talk about more. But hopefully that'll give a sense of comfort to you as you write. So we are just running a little bit over time. I'll just put out one very quick, like 1 minute, if anybody has a quick comment, question, anything that you'd like to add before we do the final wrap-up, please jump on real quick and press star 6. And if not, we'll just wrap up for this evening. I'll send you out the recording to this tomorrow morning, as usual, so that you'll have it to go back to. And we'll meet again on the 17th of December. So looking forward to that as well. And it looks as though someone is here. If there's someone who would like to say hello.
Hey, Deb, it's me.
Hi there.
Wanted to say
how are
hi.
You? Hi.
Good.
So good to hear your voice. Good to know that you're here.
Yeah.
So I hope this is helpful for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You are so welcome. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and saying hello. Okay. Well, thanks to all of you for being here, for bringing yourselves, your wonderful spirits and your light, and all of your beautiful writing. So I'm wishing you happy writing. Let me know if you have any questions, comments. Love to hear from you, and we will talk soon. Thanks, everybody. Sending blessings to all of you. And good night.